program started there, and to have the success that he had and actually get some kids to the state tournament allowed him the opportunity to take over a very, very proud program at Dublin Scioto.
Yeah, and we've throughout the process of coaching, you know, we've coached against Coach Adam Huddle, a lot of his athletes. You know, they're always very well-prepared athletes. You know, Coach Huddle does a good job getting them ready to compete. So very nice to get to see him back here at the Classic each year.
Well, I think they won the tournament, I think, last year or 2 years ago. I know he's been at Scioto. I think this is his third year.
Yeah.
So it was either last year or the year before. I mean, I don't know, Coach. We've been doing 48 of these things.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Since 1970, these tournaments have been going on. In fact, I think that this is the second longest running tournament in the state of Ohio. I think the only one that is longer than it is Medina, which happened in Medina.
Yeah,
and yesterday.
And is always set kind of in the same weekend. Also a tough, challenging tournament. So you see, you know, there's some local teams that went up there to Medina this weekend. So a lot of consistency around this time of year in terms of the tournaments that people go to.
Well, you know, the one thing that, you know, for people who've never watched wrestling, wrestling in and of itself is the oldest sport in the world. You know, for as long as human beings, we can go back to the first Olympics, we can talk about all that stuff, but for as long as human beings have existed, there's always been some struggle in some way, shape, or form. And wrestling to me it's the ultimate struggle. It's you versus him. You're in the circle and you can't hide.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that makes the sport great. You know, it's you and the other guy, and you really have to be reflective and look at how did you prepare? How did you practice? You know, what is it about the way that you approach this match that led to the outcome? And you know, with other sports, and there are many great things about team sports, and wrestling in some ways is a team sport.
It can be, sure, sure,
but,
sure.
You know, but at the end of the day, how your match ends is based on what you do throughout the week and throughout your season and the off season, which, you know, really I think is a benefit for the young men and women that participate in this sport.
Absolutely. I mean, wrestling is one of those sports that doesn't build character. It reveals character.
Absolutely.
It will show you how tough you are. You think you're tough? You know nothing about yourself until you get on that wrestling match.
Absolutely.
You know, and another great thing about wrestling, too, is anytime there is an athlete who is able to make it to state tournament level, you're good.
So absolutely.
If you're a shot put thrower or you're a hurdler, or you are a baseball team, or you're a wide receiver, or whatever, if you make All-Ohio in any way, shape, or form, you're good. You're a stud. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But if you are able to claw your way through a wrestling season from late November all the way to early March, and you climb that ladder and you make it to the state tournament, whether you do anything or not in that state tournament, you're a stud.
Yeah, it's... certainly demanding to make it to the state tournament, and you know, requires a great deal of dedication. So that is certainly an accomplishment. And just to give the folks listening at home an idea of what we are looking at right now, so our 106 match, the championship match, finished. We have the third and fourth place match finishing, and the fifth and sixth place match. We're getting ready now for the championship match at the 113-pound weight class.
All right, so the 113-pound weight class, we have Trevor Heise from St. Mary's Memorial. The head coach's name is Larry Gruber. He's a ninth grader. He has an 11-3 record. He placed sixth last year at 92 pounds at the OAC State Tournament, which is the middle school state tournament. Wrestles year-round in all styles. His favorite type of wrestling is freestyle. He has a 4.0 GPA, and he is wrestling Jack Elmore from St. Edward's High School, who the coach is Greg Urbis, the legendary Greg Urbis. He has a 4.0 GPA. Well, for grade, he put 4.0. He's 25-4. He's a freestyle state runner-up, freestyle Fargo qualifier, and he's a two-time TOC placer. And it should be noted that at 113 pounds, I'm pretty sure these two guys are freshmen, Coach. They're pretty little dudes, which is why they're probably why they're wrestling 113.
Absolutely. You tend to see the smaller weight divisions typically occupied by your younger wrestlers, freshmen, sophomores, and then as they go throughout their career, oftentimes move up to some of their higher weight divisions. Right now, we are circling around the center of the mat, kind of preparing ourselves and positioning, trying to get that first takedown here as we have the first period underway.
A little bit of hand fighting, huh?
Yeah, a little bit of hand fighting, some positioning, some faking. So they're trying to set up their go-to takedowns right now. This is one of those situations, you know, in a big-time match like this.
Oh, working the edge, out of bounds. Go ahead, coach, I'm sorry.
So as they come back to the middle of the mat, you know, as a coach, one of the things that you tell your wrestlers, you know, in moments like this, go to the stuff that has made you successful to this point. And we've got a little stoppage here. It looks like maybe some headgear issues.
And, you know, the one thing that we got to mention is wrestlers, the only thing wrestlers really have to wear is the right kind of shoes and a headgear. Now, obviously, they have to wear a singlet, but they passed a rule a couple years ago where you could actually wear shorts and T-shirt.
Yeah, which has been an interesting change. And I was speaking with one of our volunteers here this afternoon. You know, for people that have wrestled and they come back and they see this, you know, they're curious as to why that change took place. And one of the discussions that I've had with a lot of coaches and a lot of alumni is the fact that, you know, for a lot of potential wrestlers, the singlet sometimes can be a deterrent. So it's something that was a change that was made in order to keep athletes that might otherwise choose a different sport in the winter to keep them out. And we have a single leg here by Mr. Heisey from St. Mary's, and they are scrambling for position.
No, nothing yet, though.
Yeah, no takedown signal for yet.
Oh, he gave him a takedown.
Got the 2 points.
Oh, but he's calling a locking of hands.
So for those listening at home, the locking of hands, you see it a lot in wrestling matches, but it's important to understand that you can lock hands up until the point that you have scored a takedown and you are in control. So when you're on your feet in neutral, you can lock your hands. Or if a wrestler is on their feet attempting to escape, you can lock them. But when a wrestler is on the mat and you are in control, can't lock hands at that point. That can be a tricky situation oftentimes as there's a lot of movement going on.
Well, and the reality is, you know, the reason you can't lock hands is because it kind of gives you an unfair advantage. So if you're going to lock, you got to have an arm. You got to have a leg. And in this situation, they called the youngster from St. Edward's, Jack Elmore, they called him for locking because he had actually reached through the legs and actually locked basically in the other wrestler's groin area. And he wasn't locked around a leg, wasn't locked around an arm. So really that's no different than locking around the solar plexus or the body.
And as we come towards the end of the first period here, an escape for Jack Elmore of St. Ed's, giving us a 2-2 match here as we go to the second period.
Absolutely, we got ourselves a 2-2 match here. So Elmore gets the choice and takes down.
For wrestlers, the choice to, when you are given the choice to go down, that is a strategic move because you, as a wrestler, have to be able to count on the fact that you want to stand up and get that escape.
And they called a stalling call on Mr. Heisey. These refs are fantastic, but that might have been a little quick on that stall call, but that's okay. And he called it again. Wow, that's 1 point for Mr. Elmore, right?
Yeah, 1 point. So the second time that a wrestler is hit with a stalling call, result in a point being awarded. So very important for wrestlers to keep track of whether or not they have been warned for stalling. And actually, that was the subject of a rule change this year regarding wrestlers going out of bounds. If a wrestler goes out of bounds backwards, that results in a stalling call.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a rule change. I mean, I guess I've been out of the wrestling coaching ranks for about 5 years. So sometimes, you know, but one of the great things about wrestling is you can be out of coaching wrestling forever. And they may do a couple changes here and there, but the sport is still the sport, and it's going to be the same 20 years from now as it was 20 years ago. Oh, and we have a reversal. Mr. Elmore, for those of you guys who do not understand wrestling, what a reversal means is that the other person actually had control, and the guy who was on the bottom or didn't have control was able to get a reversal and get back around behind the wrestler that had control and established control himself.
And with that reversal, that gives us a 5-2 match at the moment, currently in favor of Mr. Jack Elmore from St. Ed's. as he wrestles Trevor Heise of St. Mary's Memorial. We've got about 26 seconds left here in the second period, and you see a Granby there.
That was a decent Granby. Oh, he's got to keep going. Oh, and look at that. He keeps, I tell you what, Elmore, boy, he kept locked around that waist, man. He had a tight waist, the likes of which I don't think I've seen since a 1975 state fair. Holy smokes, and that was a good one, Coach.
And he needed every bit of that tight waist.
Sure did.
As Trevor Heise hit that Granby, which is a roll that is sometimes risky to attempt to create separation from the other wrestler and generate an escape.
He tries a Granby again, catches
the
leg.
Goes back to the Granby.
Catches the leg. Trying to come through the back
door. And we've got a scramble, and we ran out of time there, so there was no change in position. So we still have a 5-2 match as we go into the third period.
Should be noted that you are listening to the 48th Annual Marion Harding Wrestling Classic Finals on True Blue 97.5, Marion's home of the Blues.
As we start our third period here, our wrestlers are in neutral. They are currently grappling for position, trying to set up what they want in terms of the upper body to try to give them the advantage to set up a takedown.
A little bit of hand fighting there, a little bit of tapping the head. The idea, Coach, is you tap the head, you kind of, it's kind of like a jab. You kind of jab, then you go in for the shot. So we'll see if it works. Once in a while, though, when there's some head tapping going on, there's some eye poking that happens. You ever been poked in the eye?
I've not been poked in the eye, but it is something that happens.
Oh, little stoppage there as we have another headgear malfunction.
That is one of the other effects of the tapping and the faking involving wrestlers and their heads. The headgear sometimes gets messed up.
Elmore takes a shot.
Doesn't score on that shot, but it did change his positioning.
Ooh, that was a really fantastic double leg there. Oh, he's got him in a half. He might take him over, Coach.
Working
he turns.
To his back. We currently have a 7-2 match here with about a minute left in the third period.
And he's certainly getting ready to award some back points. Yep, 2-point near fall. For those of you guys at home watching that don't understand what we mean by that, 2-point near fall means you got him on his back, but not enough to pin him, but you broke the plane of the back. What is it, about 45%, I believe? If you break that, and if you get a 2-count, you get a 2-point near fall. If you get a 3-count, you get a 3-point near fall. Am I correct about that, Coach?
Absolutely,
correct me
Coach.
If I'm wrong. It's what I thought.
And another point to mention, you know, we have about 30 seconds left here in the third period, which, of course, the third period is the final period of regulation. But one of the things that makes wrestling such a unique sport, you could be losing 14-0 in the third period, but the match is not over until time runs out because a fall or a pin, regardless of the score on the scoreboard, results in a victory.
Yep. I've seen it happen, too. I'll never forget watching Callan Vanderhoff one time toss a kid in, like, the last 20 seconds to his back and beat the kid. It was fantastic.
Callan Vanderhoff, of course, a state qualifier and placer here from Marion Harding High School.
Absolutely. Great kid.
A wrestler that I went to school with and actually played Little League Baseball with.
Well, there you go. So with that being said, folks, that is the end of the 1-13 match with St. Edward's High School. Jack Elmore beating Trevor Heise of St. Mary's Memorial. Up to this point, Coach, it has been all St. Ed's all the time here on the Blues. True Blue 97.5 at the 48th Annual Marion Harding Wrestling Classic Finals. It should be noted that this is sponsored by the Ratliff Law Office located at 200 West Center Street here in Marion, Ohio. Their phone number is 740-383-6023. Coach, who we got here at 120, sir? Tell the folks at home.
We have Clayton Drummond of St. Mary's Memorial, coached by Larry Gruber. He is a junior with a 14-1 record, a 2-time district qualifier, a WBL league champ, and has always had a winning record throughout his high school career.
And he is versing Ethan Sanity from Buckeye Valley. His coach is Brian Peretti. He's an 11th grader. He's 8-2. He's a 2-time district qualifier. He has a decent GPA, he says. And he wants everybody at home to know that he likes chocolate and Chick-fil-A. How about that, folks? Let's get this kid some chocolate and Chick-fil-A for Christmas. I bet he got some but didn't eat it because he was trying to make weight for wrestling. Oh.
And we've got our first takedown of the match as they make their way out of bounds.
And that was Sanity with the scramble for the takedown there.
That gives a 2-0 advantage here with about a minute 23 left in the first period.
As I believe the coach from St. Mary's Memorial wants to argue that takedown a little bit, which I kind of get because they were flying out of bounds a little bit. But it was obvious, Coach, in my opinion, that Sanity Sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Sanity. Like Xanadu. Remember that? Olivia Newton-John movie? Terrible movie from back in the day. But anyways, they were kind of scrambling out of bounds, but Sanity completely and totally had control as Clayton Drummond got an escape.
Which sets us up with a 2-1 match at the moment, about a minute left in the first period. As we've got some head snapping, some hand fighting for position.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Did a little whizzer there.
And the whizzer followed by a whip, but the
blew it dead, man. That was a beautiful whip, though.
Yes. Woo! And the whizzer as well, kind of a flurry of activity there.
For those of you guys who don't know, a whizzer is kind of like you kind of get an underhook on an arm and you just kind of roll through it. There's a lot of different ways you can do a whizzer, but that was certainly a good whizzer. As the wrestlers look like they're about to careen towards our table.
As they make their way towards us.
It's all right, though.
Like you said, Coach, the whizzer certainly, when it's hit and hit well, an impressive-looking move.
Thing of beauty, Coach. Good hips.
As we are hip-to-hip, making our way out of bounds.
Out of bounds. The wrestlers are so close. I think there's sweat flying on us, Coach Stone.
I believe that there is.
Either that or I'm just talking too much and I'm getting hot over here. I don't know. These headphones will make your head hot. Your ears can't breathe, you know, Coach?
You know, it could be a little bit of both. But,
could be. Could
we're
be.
Back to the center of the match as the first period comes to a close.
Oh!
A shot. And it looks like we have Ethan Sanity in control with another takedown, giving us a 4-1 match as we enter what coaches and wrestlers call short time. That is the last few seconds of a period.
Man, I'm going to tell you. Drummond shot and Sanity caught him underneath the arms, and it was almost like a cement mixer, I think they call that move.
Yes.
You catch with the hook and then you just punch over. It was a thing to be here. I'm gonna tell you, this Sanity kid, I'm telling you, the reason this kid is 8-2 is because he's got some fantastic hips, Coach.
And one of the things that's interesting to point out, you know, when you think about wrestling, as our second period begins here, and we have a switch as the wrestlers make their way to their feet, but no change in position.
Nothing yet.
As a wrestler, when you attempt a move, it always opens up some type of counter move.
It sure does.
And so, you know, for people who watch wrestling, you often see wrestlers taking shots, attacking legs. But there are wrestlers out there who, you know, they're very good at the counterattack and either shooting as their opponent shoots or, like you mentioned there, the cement mixer or the whip. Some of those moves can take opponents right to their back.
Yeah, they sure can. Well, you know, the thing is with wrestling, you're never safe, man. And I'm going to tell you, Drummond hit a beautiful switch that ended up not resulting in him getting a reversal, but he essentially ended up getting an escape nonetheless. Oh, and he catches him. He whips him over. He's got him on his back. But Drummond's not giving up. Sanity has got him. We'll see. If he steps his hips over, Coach, he might.
And that is a fall.
Wow. That kid has some fantastic hips. So that, folks, Ethan Sanity, who likes chocolate and Chick-fil-A and wants the world to know he has a decent GPA, beats Clayton Drummond of St. Mary's Memorial. Congratulations to young Ethan.
And Coach Snyder, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that along with chocolate and Chick-fil-A, Ethan Sanity probably likes the outcome of that match just as much as those other two.
It's Zanotti.
Oh, well, listen. Brent Gornflow comes over and tells us it's Zanotti. Sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Sanity. It's actually Zanotti. My apologies. Thank you for that, Mr. Brent Gornflow.
Mr. Gorenflot is, of course, our tournament director here at the Marion Harding Classic, and has filled that role for a number of years at this point.
Well, folks, here we go, here we go. We have our very first Marionite on the mat today. 126 Carter Chase from Pleasant, coached by my cousin, Joe Robinson, a fantastic human being. He got the good looks in the family. They're not much to go around, but Coach Robinson got him. He's 19-2. Carter is. He was fourth at Olentangy. He's 5-0 at Taze Valley. He has a 3.8 GPA. He's first at the Pennsylvania State College Tournament. He plays football, and he competed at the Tulsa National Season Opener. Tell us about his opponent, Coach Stowe.
And his opponent, Dylan Matthews from Liberty Center, coached by Troy Westhaven, a 10th grader with a 6-0 record. Last year placed fourth at the Harding Classic, third at Pleasant's Sally George. Also a district qualifier after winning his sectional.
Carter Chase almost in on the leg. And I'm going to tell you, I remember Carter when he was a youngster. He would come to our youth wrestling here at Marion Harding High School. We had a monster squad program here for a long time. And Carter would come and work out with some of the other kids. And he's just a good kid from a good family. His dad is a retired police officer. And like I mentioned before, my cousin Joe is the head coach there at Pleasant and just does a fantastic job out there at Pleasant with a great group of kids and a great district. Who, by the way, Coach, thank you to the voters. And I know there are Marionites listening. Thank you to the voters who passed the levy to build Pleasant a new school. Because here's the thing, folks. We got to give our kids in any community, whether it's Marion City Schools, whether it's Pleasant, whoever it is, wherever it is, we have to give them the best possible opportunity. And the reality is those kids at Pleasant Middle School were going to a building that was built over 100 years ago. It was in bad shape. So kudos to the Pleasant people. Kudos to the kids. Kudos to everybody out there. And kudos to the voters for doing what was right for the kids, dadgummit. We appreciate that, especially as educators, don't we, Coach?
Absolutely. Always good for Marion students to get opportunities, you know, to better themselves. We currently have a scoreless match here in the first period.
Stalemate.
Although we're pummeling for position, working upper body, and we have a single leg here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Carter's mistake on that is he got in on that high crotch beautifully, but he left his back arm buried. So he got in on the leg great, but he didn't bring that trail arm through to grab a hold of that leg and basically, you know, secure the leg.
And that flurry of activity takes us out of bounds, which brings us back to the center with no change of position, so still a 0-0 match. You mentioned Coach Robinson out there at Pleasant and the job that he's done with that program. And we, of course, have to mention his predecessor is
the
in the
legend.
Building this evening.
The legend.
The legendary Doug Short
Douglas
is here in the
Short.
Building tonight.
The man, the myth, the legend, who is actually a Hall of Fame coach. He's in the OHSAA Wrestling Coaches Hall of Fame, retired from coaching at Pleasant, and now coaches at Otterbein. And you know what? Well, you want to know something cool about Coach Short?
What would that be, Coach Snyder?
He was my gym teacher in the fourth and fifth grade at Colonial Acres.
He was your gym teacher?
In fact, when we would play floor hockey, I would always high stick because I was always, like, super squirrely and went a million miles an hour. And he started calling the penalty box the Todd box. So I have known Coach Short literally almost my whole life. And I'm going to tell you what, there isn't a finer gentleman and human being in this world than that guy. I love that man.
He is certainly one of the greats.
Oh, my God. I love seeing him at wrestling tournaments because I just love to listen. I could talk to that guy all day.
All day.
All
certainly.
Day. Every
now,
day.
Now, my question is, Coach Snyder, has there been any movement on adopting that name change at the NHL level, the penalty box to the Todd box?
Nope. I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Here, as we have the second period underway.
Ooh. And I tell you what happened there. It almost looked like Carter was going to get a reverse, but they called a potentially dangerous move. And what potentially dangerous means, it doesn't mean that the wrestler is trying to hurt the other wrestler. It doesn't mean that. What potentially dangerous means is stuff got bent in ways it shouldn't get bent. And I'm going to tell you what, Dylan Matthews' knee looked like it was going ways it shouldn't go. So when that happens, they blow the whistle, they call potentially dangerous, and they reset. And in the words of the great coach in the Water Boy, you live to play another day.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You live to play another day. And listen, once again, You are listening to the 48th Annual Marion Harding Wrestling Classic Finals on True Blues, 97.5, Marion's home of the Blues.
Carter Chase makes his way to his feet after having selected the bottom position, giving us a 1-0 match here with about a minute left in the second period.
Pummeling in as the wrestlers come our way. Ooh! I'm going to tell you what.
And a takedown for Dylan Matthews there near the edge of the mat.
He hipped him over, man.
A dangerous moment there for Carter Chase as he, for a brief moment, went to his back but was able to recover.
Got saved by the edge, Coach.
Absolutely.
If that happened in the middle of the mat, young Carter might be looking at a different outcome of what this match could possibly be.
Positioning on the mat, such an important part of the sport of wrestling.
Oh, it's Carter is trying for a head and arm. Trying to hip him over. Oh!
And
woo! Dylan rolled him through. Listen, in a situation like that, Carter had a great head and arm, but he's got to just settle his hips, because if he just settles his hips through that head and arm, Dylan's on his back. And I hear Coach Robinson over here in his infinite wisdom say, just get the one, which is true. Carter gets an escape here and gets the one. It's a tie match. You just got to peel.
And he gets that one now with about 30 seconds left in the second period, giving us a 2-2 match. But Coach Snyder, as you and I both well know, for wrestlers, especially younger wrestlers, that head and arm, because it has what you call in football big playability.
It does.
It is so tempting for wrestlers to go to.
Well, and Coach, I'm going to liken it like this. For those of you guys who listen at home, you don't know what the head and arm is. The head and arm is essentially where you lock up the head and the arm, and you launch them over your hip to their back. And really, the head and arm is pretty much kind of like the deep ball in football.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what it is.
It's a good comparison as far as, you know, it has its risks, but it also has its reward. You know, when you train for this in the wrestling room and you talk about these types of moves, they are feet-to-back moves.
Feet-to-back, baby.
You have to have some kind of feet-to-back moves, because like we pointed out, you know, the sport of wrestling, it is not over until the clock hits zero. So at any point, you might need to take someone directly to their back in order to try to win the match.
Yep, you got to do what you got to do. And we are in a tie match here, 2-2 as we go into the third period. So really at this point, it is anybody's match. But it looks like Dylan here has pretty decent position to possibly maybe get a reversal. I'm going to tell you what, if I'm Carter, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to grab a hold of an ankle and I'm going to wrestle for a stalemate.
And Dylan has a hold of Carter Chase's leg and is attempting to change positioning here and attempting to score a reversal.
He's trying to come through. He's trying to turn the corner.
But Carter has his legs locked around Dylan's body.
Oh, as Carter Chase is over here like a acrobat.
A scramble there that results in a stalemate. No change of position, so no points awarded.
No points awarded.
We have about a minute and 17 left here in the third period.
Well, listen, and if I'm Carter Chase, I think what I'm going to do, quite frankly, is I might just cut him. Because if you let this kid get a reverse, then you're looking at a two-point differential.
And for those of us listening at home that might not be familiar, when you talk about cutting a wrestler, you're allowing them to escape and get to their feet.
Absolutely.
Which does still result in a point for an escape, but it gives you time and opportunities to score and take down yourself. And Dylan Matthews and Carter Chase are both on their feet, giving us a 3-2 match right now, currently in favor of Dylan Matthews of Liberty Center.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, if I'm Carter, I'm going to be leery of tying up with this kid right now for too all of a long, because Dylan has some pretty good hips here. So if I'm Carter, I'm pummeling for that overhook or that underhook, and then from there, oh, as he goes for a sweep single.
And they return to their feet. And it's worth revisiting what we discussed earlier about the importance of stalling, as the official warns Dylan Matthews for stalling. Moments like this, a 3-2 match, it's when these sorts of things can be the difference
in winning a match
and going to overtime.
Well, and if I'm Carter, I'm going crazy right now, going after him without making mistakes to try to possibly get another stalling call. Oh, as he tries to hit the blade. Wow.
From a front headlock.
A blade, Coach.
An impressive move there, but does land out of bounds.
I'm going to tell you what, Coach. I haven't seen somebody hit a successful blade, I think, since I was in high school. That was a nice – and for those of you guys who don't know, a blade is – it's kind of like an over-the-back trip move That is really, really hard to pull off.
And as we enter the final 15 seconds here in a 3-2 match, we have our two wrestlers, Dylan Matthews and Carter Chase, pummeling for position. And we have a flurry of activity fighting for position. He's trying to circle and spin. And as time expires, we stay in a 3-2 match, making Dylan Matthews our champion today at 126.
Well, and Carter Chase lost that match, but I'm going to tell you, Carter Chase is only a freshman. That kid's got a super, super, super bright future. And there may be a little bit of a, he may have a little bit of a case, maybe thinking that there was some stalling and stuff like that. But the reality is this, you got to go out there and you got to wrestle, and you can't depend on those calls. You just can't. But Carter's got a bright future, folks. There's no doubt about it. That kid's a freshman, and he's in good hands out there at Pleasant High School with my coach Joe Robinson leading the ship out there. All right, coach, we're getting almost to the middle of the road here. We're at 132. We got Carter Kroll from Ontario. Kevin Kroll is his coach. The kid's a 10th grader. He's 14-2, and he was a state qualifier last year, which means he's one of those rarefied wrestling studs. Who is he facing, coach?
He is facing off with Hudson Leapley of Central Crossing High School. His coach is Coach Ramirez. He is a senior, a 13-2 wrestler. He is a district qualifier, possesses an over 4.0 GPA, is ranked in the top 10 in his class, and has plans to study nuclear physics in college.
Nuclear physics?
Certainly an impressive set of credentials there for Hudson.
Coach, I can't even spell nuclear physics, and I have a master's degree. Good for that kid. Holy smokes. Nuclear physics, wow. I guess he's going to do bigger things than possibly take first place at the 48th annual Marion Harding High School Classic, which, by the way, once again, is brought to you by True Blues 97.5, Marion's home of the Blues. And it is also sponsored by the Ratliff Law Office, which is located at 200 West Center Street here in Marion. Their phone number is 740-383-6023.
And as we reach the one-minute mark here in the first period, Hudson and Carter are in neutral right now. We have Carter has a single leg, and we have a flurry of activity here as both wrestlers attempt to score. Hudson on the counterattack, and they are currently hip-to-hip.
I'm telling you, they're over there dancing on the edge like a dead gum mountain goat, coach.
And with the importance of positioning, like we said earlier, you might hit a great move at this part of the mat, but if it doesn't land in bounds, all that activity does not result in points. So positioning is such a key part of this sport.
It's almost like being that crocodile, having all those teeth and no toothbrush.
And as we reach the 20, we have 20 seconds remaining here in the first period. We are scrambling for position. Carter has Hudson's leg.
Oh, coach, he's almost got him in a gator. No, out of bounds.
And we roll out of bounds. Still a 0-0 match with 7.6 seconds left in the first period as our wrestlers return to the center of the mat.
Goes in for a takedown right off the bat. Nothing.
And the front headlock here after the attempt at a shot. And we end our first period scoreless here.
Good old-fashioned 0-0 tie with one-third of the match ready to go. We go in here in the second period. Once again, we have Carter Kroll from Ontario and Hudson Leapley from Central Crossing High School.
And to give our viewer, or our listeners, I should say, not
viewers. Listeners.
Right. At home, an idea for what happens in between periods. So they flip a coin, and you get to decide when it is your turn to choose whether you take top, bottom, or neutral.
Tell the folks what's on the different sides of the coin, coach, so they kind of know that.
So each wrestler wears an anklet, either red or green, unless for some of the heavier weight classes like myself, the anklet might not fit. But
legs are too big, right, coach?
Right. They're identified as red and green, and they select positioning. And that's a big part of the strategy of the sport, especially in close matches like this. And we have a scramble, a flurry of activity here, as Hudson Leapley of Central Crossing is attempting to change positions.
Coach, I'm going to tell you, I can see why Carter Kroll is a state qualifier. That kid, listen, Leapley's on his back right now wondering how the heck he got there. I'm telling you that right now because Leapley put some great stuff together, but Carter was just everything that Leapley threw at him. It was. I wish I could explain a little bit better, but it looked like Leapley had Kroll on his back, but it didn't happen. And Kroll just pinned Lepley.
And it's one of those, when you get into a scramble, a flurry of activity, the attacks and the counterattacks and all those opportunities we mentioned earlier that open up, they start to happen so fast. And so you might try to counter something, and then they counter with something else. And it's what you get into what you call chain wrestling.
Yeah, true story.
Which sets apart, you know, for a lot of your, like Carter, your wrestlers that make it to the state tournament, your very successful wrestlers, when you're able to put together a combination of moves that build off of each other, really kind of adds to what you're able to do as a wrestler.
Well, and you know, it's one of those things, too, that it just, like you said, they're just the best wrestlers, quite frankly, have counter moves. I mean, that's just... That's what they do. It's just one of those things that it's kind of fantastic to watch, quite frankly, Coach.
Yeah, when you get a scramble that is back and forth, and there are counters and counters to those initial counters, it is certainly an impressive display to watch. All the different positions that wrestlers become familiar with.
Well, and I tell you what, folks, we've got a little bit of a lull on the activity here. We're going to take a quick commercial break. At the 48th Annual Marion Harding Wrestling Classic Finals on Marion's home of the Blues, True Blues, 97.5.
We'd like to thank Boyd Bourne Funeral Home for being a sponsor of this station and Sunday Morning Sermons with Deacon Bill every Sunday morning, 6 a.m. to 8. Did you know that Boyd Bourne Funeral Home has been in Marion for over 90 years. That's right, that funeral home over at 122 West Columbia Street has been owned and operated by the Boyd family since 1927. These folks over at Boyd Bourne Funeral Home, they really care about you and your family, and they have a lot of services on top of their professional funeral services, such as bereavement counseling and pre-planning and funding programs. For more information, their phone number is 740-382-2115.
Hey, Ray, remember that chicken shack that used to be over on Main Street? Boy, I used to like that place.
Remember, the chicken shack is back.
The chicken shack is back?
Yeah, man.
Well, I bet you they don't have their signature chicken and noodles.
I bet you they do.
I bet you they don't have that family eight-piece chicken meal.
You know they do, and a kids menu, too.
Wow. Well, I guess the Chicken Shack is back.
Hey, at 575 North Main Street. And you can call in a pickup order at 740-382-5390. Chicken Shack is back.
Check out the all-new Super Sunday Blues lineup here on WDIF at 4 p.m. every...
When I don't know how my day is going to go, I turn on my radio and listen to the Silky Ray Show. Then I know it's going to be...
A lovely day.
Listen to the Mid-Morning Blues Break with Silky Ray weekdays 10 a.m. to noon on WDIF LP.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back at the 48th Annual Marion Harding Classic Finals on True Blue 97.5. Marion's home of the Blues. Coach, who was the president in 1970?
In 1970?
1970.
Oh, Coach, I couldn't tell you. I was not around in 1970.
I think it was Nixon.
Would that have been Nixon?
I think it was Nixon.
Okay.
So we have been doing this tournament for so long that Richard Nixon was in the White House when we started. So with that being said, folks, we are at the 138. We have Gabe Steyer from Van Wert. His coach is Ben Collins. He is an 11th grader. He is 10-1. He's 2018 state qualifier, two-time district qualifier, 2018 sectional champ. This kid has a lot of accolades. Who's he wrestling, coach?
He's wrestling Evan Bennett from St. Ed's High School, coached by Coach Urbis. He is a 9th grader with a 27-0 record. A 2018 junior high state runner-up, also a junior high Super 32 All-American, and a cadet freestyle runner-up.
Well, and everybody needs to know right now that this freshman from St. Ed's, literally just took a 2018 state qualifier down and to his back. So this kid may be a freshman, but he's the real deal because he wrestles for St. Ed's. And for the people at home who don't know about the St. Edwards program, Coach, tell them about St. Ed's.
So St. Ed's is, of course, an incredibly successful program, typically one of the top in the state. They've won a number of state titles, a number of highly successful wrestlers that have gone on to wrestle at the college level. Currently, Evan Bennett for them here at 138 is up 4-0 as we approach the one-minute mark in the first period. Evan looking to stay in control as Gabe Steyer attempts to earn a reversal or an escape. And one of the things that we're seeing right now from Evan Bennett, for listeners at home, throwing legs in where you take your leg and lock it inside the other wrestlers. It can be a very challenging position for many wrestlers, especially wrestlers that don't have experience in that position. So it can be a tremendous advantage for those that are successful with it, but does come with a bit of risk itself.
Oh, absolutely. Throwing legs is one of those things that if you're good at, you can control matches, no questions asked. But if you're bad at throwing legs, you're going to get pinned.
Absolutely. And as a coach, if you watch an opponent and they are good at throwing legs, you go to your wrestler and you say, hey, you know, this guy throws legs, so be ready.
Absolutely. Well, and you know the best way to keep legs from being thrown in is when you're down in your base, you got to keep your legs close together. Wrestling is one of those sports, it's about the windows. If you give people a window of opportunity, whatever that window may be, if you give that to them as...
And speaking of opportunity here, Evan Bennett of St. Ed's has his opponent, Gabe Steyer, on his back
on
as
his
we
back.
Near the end of the first period. And we have the end of the first period, some near fall points awarded for having your opponent's shoulders exposed to the mat, giving us a 7-0 match as we make our way into the second period here.
7-0. A state qualifier from last year in Division II is down 7-0 against the freshman Evan Bennett from St. Edwards High School.
And we begin the second period here in neutral, and Gabe Steyer attempts a shot, but Evan is able to catch him in a front headlock. As our wrestlers work the center of the mat, working for position. And we've got a snap and a change of position, a front headlock.
Steyer trying to hip him over. It's not happening, though.
Evans dropped to a single leg, is attempting to score a takedown. Scramble, and there it is, our takedown, taking us to a 9-0 match here in the second period.
So at this point, if the match were to end right now as a 9-0 lead, this would be considered a major victory, correct, Coach?
Yes, and for those of us not familiar with how team scoring works, a major decision does result in an additional point for your team. And we have Evan Bennett here working that wing that we described earlier and also has a wrist, but you heard the whistle, and we get a stoppage for potentially dangerous.
Oh, he actually gave him a point for an illegal move. I know when you're throwing that wing in, if your arm... When you're throwing the wing in, your arm has to go almost parallel, but if it starts to go vertical up the back and you kind of stretch that a little bit, that can result in a penalty point. I thought personally that it was just going to be potentially dangerous, which is what you said, Coach, but it's a penalty point.
Yeah, and important to know the distinction between potentially dangerous, which results in a stoppage and repositioning of the wrestlers, and the penalty point for a situation where, you know, the official deems it necessary. And we have Gabe Steyer working on bottom here as we have 30 seconds left in the second period. Evan working to attempting to work a turn here as we enter short time.
Generally about 10 seconds left. And, you know, whenever it's a close match and it's short time, you're always going to hear coaches yelling, short time, short time, short time.
And the other sight that you always see, we always have what you call a bopper make their way onto a mat.
A bopper.
Typically, a lot of times, those are wrestlers that someday will find themselves in a tournament such as this, make their way onto the mat to alert the officials that time is out so that the wrestling does not continue.
And they basically come out with like a half pool noodle and smack the ref on the back. Because quite frankly, the ref can't worry about the time. He's too busy watching action.
And as we start the third period here in neutral.
Oh, that's a oh my goodness.
Evan Bennett with a double leg, taking his opponent to the mat.
Ooh, he climbed him like a koala climbing a tree there, Coach. That was fantastic. That was a good takedown by that young man.
Quite the impressive takedown as Gabe Steyer attempts to earn a reversal here. They are currently hip-to-hip, and there is the reversal.
He's in a perfect position right now to get him in a Clemson roll. If he can get it, this could be a Clemson roll, not to be confused with the football team.
And this is a situation where, as we have mentioned, you know, it's so important to remember that while it's good to be ahead on the scoreboard, in this sport, no one has won the match until that time runs out.
You're 100% right, Coach. No one's safe until there's all zeros on the clock.
And so as impressive as Evan Bennett has been here at the start of this match, Gabe Steyer has to be thinking about, you know, what are those feet-to-back moves that he could look for?
Well, he's got to go what we always called those feet-to-back moves. They're pretty much what we call desperation moves.
And Evan Bennett earns himself another takedown here as we come under the one-minute mark here in the third period. Working that wing again.
He's got a wing and a half.
And trying to get out to the side maybe to run the wing in the half.
Oh, he's got a cross face.
The cross face.
As Gabe grimaces in pain.
The cross face certainly does not feel good.
It does not.
As for those of us not familiar, it is your opponent's arm across your face.
It is the forearm right across the face, and it sounds exactly like it is, and it hurts exactly like you think it would hurt.
And as we enter the final moments of our match here, it is 14-3. As time expires, making Evan Bennett of St. Ed's our Marion Harding Classic champ at 138.
And coming up next, we have the 145 weight class with, big shocker, another St. Edwards wrestler. We have from Ontario, we have Evan Turnbull, who is a freshman. He is 16-1, and he was a junior high state placer. And from St. Edwards, who do we have, Coach?
We have Luke.
I think Grog.
Luke Geog.
I think his mom's sitting right here next to us.
As we have an assist from Luke's mom.
She's like, you better make sure you say my kid's name right.
Another St. Ed's wrestler, coached by Mark Jane. He is a freshman. He is currently 18-0, a cadet freestyle Fargo national finalist, cadet freestyle state champ, a Super 32 middle school champ, and a Flow Nationals middle school champ. So an impressive set of credentials here for the freshman at 145.
Well, and these kids are both freshmen, and I think we need to understand something here, folks. When you start to move up in the weight classes, when you get from about 145 to about 170-ish, you get some big boys. You get, it's kind of funny, I would say you get the grown men, considering these two are both freshmen, but you get some big bodies here.
You certainly do. And as we hit the 30-second mark in the first period, we have our first takedown of the match.
Luke,
scored by Luke from St. Ed's, giving us a 2-0 match.
Luke had him up in the air there for a second. And if Luke had not brought him down under control, Luke very easily could have gotten a slam.
And we have a
tilt.
A tilt, and the officials are counting near fall points. One of those things, as we talked about, Coach Schneider, you know, the wrestling being both an individual and team sport, certainly interesting that we have two St. Ed's freshmen back-to-back here on our center mat.
Well, and, you know, I think what people need to realize, this is St. Ed's B team. So these two freshmen that are wrestling here today, chances are they're going to be on St. Ed's varsity next year. They come to a varsity tournament as St. Ed's B team, okay, and beats first-team wrestlers from other schools because St. Ed's program is that good, that legendary, and that stacked that their second-best wrestler lots of times is better than your first-best.
Certainly a That's very just the successful reality. Program. And we have an 8-0 match under the one-minute mark here in the first period.
Well, and I got to tell you, both these kids being freshmen, I would be willing to bet that we're going to see these kids' names somewhere along the line in a program at the Schottenstein Center. Maybe not this year, but I certainly would be willing to bet that we're going to see these two youngsters on the stage at the Schottenstein Center wrestling in the state tournament.
And we have an 8-2-1 match as Ethan Turnbull has earned himself an escape. And we have a flurry of activity as the period comes to an end. Currently a 10-1 match as Luke from St. Ed's scored a takedown as the first period comes to a close.
Folks, once again, we have to mention, we got to let you know that you're listening to Marion's Home of the Blues at the 48th annual Marion Harding High School Wrestling Classic Finals on True Blues 97.5, Marion's Home of the Blues. 10-1 match, Coach. Second period just started.
Second period, of course, beginning in neutral. And a flurry of activity. And we are near the edge of the mat. And nearly a takedown there for Ethan Turnbull.
Tell you what, Ethan went hard on that one, Coach.
He certainly did.
He ran out of room.
As we return to the center of the mat, we have a shot by Luke, a double leg, as he works and scores the takedown, giving us a 12-1 match.
Looks like Luke is going for a bulldog tilt yet again.
And we return to our base here. No near fall awarded for that tilt.
Oh, as he goes, he's going for a butcher. Oh, he's got him locked up in a cradle.
Locking up in the cradle.
Oh.
For those of us not familiar with the cradle, that is where you lock your arms around an opponent's head, arm, and leg.
It is probably short. There's a couple different moves that really, really hurt, that really, really make you feel bad when they're being done to you. But the cradle is one of those ones you want to talk about feeling helpless. When he's got your arm, your head, and your leg, and he's got it locked up, and he is squeezing you. Holy smokes, Coach.
Not a good feeling.
And oh,
we mentioned
gosh.
The crossface earlier.
Yeah.
There is a crossface cradle, which certainly does not feel
listen,
good.
The crossface cradle is like, it's like taking two of the world's worst things and combining them into one. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of a good analogy to make people think of what a crossface cradle would be like. I don't know. It's like warm milk and mustard.
Yeah, it's certainly terrible. Not a good feeling.
It's not. It's horrible.
And with 30 seconds remaining here in the second period, we have a 15-1 match.
Almost got ourselves a technical fall, which we'll explain when and if it happens.
And we have Luke from St. Ed's currently in control, attempting to work a turn and earn himself near fall as we are just under the 15-second mark. And an attempt at a tilt there. No near fall awarded. Now we have a count of some near fall, two near fall points awarded, taking us to 17-1. And Coach Snyder, would you like to explain the significance of that?
Folks, what just happened is it was called a what happens is when you score more than 15 points, it's kind of like the mercy rule, kind of. They're saying, listen, this person has such an insurmountable lead that we are going to basically stop the match. It's called a technical fall. And you are awarded essentially 5 team points, if I'm correct. In a dual match, you get 5 team points for a tech fall. It's basically the mercy rule. Kind of like in football, they have the running clock if you're up by 30.
Which takes us to here in a few moments. We'll have our 152-pound weight class coming onto the mat.
And from the 152 weight class, we have Daniel Segura from Dublin Scioto High School, coached once again by Adam Huddle. Welcome back, Mr. Huddle. Segura is an 11th grader. He's 19-1. He's a 2-time state qualifier. He was a qualifier as a freshman and sophomore. He was a state placer at 138 as a sophomore, undefeated sectionals at districts. Has a lot of different things going on. In fact, he won this tournament last year and was third place as a freshman. And who is he wrestling, Coach?
He is wrestling Bo Lefevre from Mapleton High School, coached by Corey Klein. He is a senior, currently 18-0.
Oh, this ought to be a good match, Coach.
And he is a returning state qualifier, a 2-time district qualifier, 1-time placer, which, of course, placing in districts does earn you a spot at the state wrestling tournament. And also, from this year, a cross-country state qualifier.
That's one of those things that's like, but wait, there's more. Little did we know that this kid is also a cross-country state qualifier. So, quite frankly, this kid, he's kind of a stud. He can run and wrestle.
And our wrestlers shake hands as we prepare to begin our championship match at 152.
You ever watch Coach Huddle coach wrestling?
So for our coaches in the corner,
angry,
there is a line behind which coaches are required to stay for the officials to have room to work. Coach Huddle, very animated. His wrestlers respond to that. And so he certainly brings a lot of energy to the corner.
I tell you what, I can't talk enough about him. He is he's a great coach. He's a great friend. And Dublin Scioto is lucky to have him. And once again, folks, I got a feeling that whoever wins this match could very well be the MVP of the tournament. All right. Mr. Gornblow's shaking his head. Oh, that was a
fantastic. And we have our first takedown of the match.
That was a fantastic ankle pick. Fantastic ankle pick. Holy smokes. And an ankle pick is exactly what it sounds like. You go low, you pick the ankle.
And our wrestlers are making their way back to the center of the mat as they return to neutral, giving us a 2-1 match as we reach the 1 minute mark in the first period. And a 2-on-1 here for Daniel Segura of Dublin.
Segura locks around the body, tries to throw in legs for a trip, for a body trip.
And another takedown.
Another takedown.
To a 4-1 match. And as we continue to wrestle here near the edge of the mat, Daniel Segura from Dublin Scioto still in control as our wrestlers return to the middle. 37 seconds left in the first period with a 4-1 match. As we get set to resume action.
Should be noted, as we talked about the uniforms earlier, these two wrestlers are wearing the shorts and the t-shirt, not the singlets. I myself like the singlet. I just did.
And each wrestler has a different preference, but it was one of those changes made to try to include more in this sport that we all appreciate a great deal.
Of course, we didn't have a choice, right? We had to wear the singlet.
Correct. Yeah, there was no choice when we wrestled. And as we come near the end of the first period, attempted escape that was prevented by Daniel Segura.
Well, and I'm telling you, it's hard to believe coming to the end of the first period that it's a 4-1 match, which to people listening at home probably doesn't sound like a big deal. But the reality is as a 4-1, it sounds close, but Segura is actually controlling this match. He is controlling this match.
And as a wrestling coach, one of the things that you often point out to your wrestlers, it's when these matches, when the score is close. You know, for wrestlers to reach the goals that they have, you've got to be able to win those close matches.
Segura tries to stand up and cut out as Bo, you give me la fever, is holding on for all of his life. Oh, and he got called for stalling. La fever got called for stalling. And you know why that is, Coach? Because he has not returned him to the mat, nor has he changed his hold. So Segura steps over. Looks like he just may get a reversal here. We'll see as Lefevre is hanging on for dear life.
As they're turning to face each other, we may see
at least an escape here, at the very least. They haven't called anything yet because Segura, okay.
And there is the escape.
There's the escape.
Giving us a 5-1 match halfway through the second period. And Daniel Segura has what we call now two double underhooks. And Coach, would you like to talk about the significance of the double unders?
Well, you can do a lot of things with a double underhook, man. You can jack somebody up from the double underhooks. You can throw somebody from the double underhooks. You can jack them up to a bear hug, to a trip. There's a lot of different things you can do with a double underhook. But double underhook, you're in control. However, if your double underhooks are sloppy, they could go really, really bad for you. And the guy that you have double underhooked could be on you like white on rice, Coach.
Certainly for a wrestler, when your opponent has double underhooks, you definitely sense danger. And we currently have a 7-2 match with about 30 seconds left here in the second period.
Segura,
as Bo attempts
it.
A shot and is taken to the mat by Daniel Segura.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, in Segura's bio, one of the things I didn't read because it was such a long bio is the kid's a Greco-Roman wrestler, okay? And if you know anything, high school wrestling is folk style, okay? A lot of the wrestling you see in the Olympics is Greco-Roman wrestling, and a lot of Greco-Roman wrestling is throwing. And a lot of what Segura has been doing is picking him up, taking him to the mat, twisting the body a little bit. So Segura is certainly schooled in Greco-Roman wrestling to where he's got good hips, he's a solid thrower, and, you know, it's only going to make him better.
And our third period is underway. Currently a 12-2 match in favor of Daniel Segura from Dublin Scioto, as he faces Bo Lefevre of Mapleton High School.
Lefevre gets in on a leg, but Segura locks on the ankle. Oh, and Segura, I'm going to tell you, he's wily. He's a wily one. Just when you think you got him, he's like, eh, ain't happening. Might be working for a stalemate here, coach. Oh, never mind. Look at that. Coach, he might turn this into a takedown.
And he does earn the takedown.
Wow. That was like poetry right there, coach.
As he secures a wing.
Coach, he's going to try to plant the arm and hit the blue ball. Nope, didn't happen. He's got the wing and the half. Uh-oh. Oh, and he's going to try to stack him. He's got to be careful, though, he doesn't roll on his own back. I've seen wrestlers pin themselves on accident sometimes, and it can happen.
It's something you see maybe once a year as a coach where wrestlers end up in that situation, but that does not happen as we have an escape as Bo Lefevre returns to his feet and immediately shoots for a single leg as our wrestlers roll towards the edge of the mat. No points awarded yet.
Coach Huddle still barking instructions.
As we go out of bounds, we come back to the center. A 14-3 match, 34 seconds remaining. Worth mentioning, even with the discrepancy on the scoreboard, wrestling is a sport. It's not over until that time runs out.
And it ain't over. You're right, coach.
Head snap there from Daniel Segura, which he transitions into a single leg, scores a takedown, giving us a 16-3 match.
And he's getting back points right now, which means this is going to be a 19-3 match, which means it will essentially go down as a technical fall. As Segura up to this point, coach, I've got to say he's been the most impressive wrestler I've seen on this mat. You know, I think it's funny too, coach. Wrestlers keep walking up to this table thinking this is where they check in.
Attempting to report in to us here on our broadcast.
Yeah. I mean, they can if they want to, but it's not going to get him anywhere.
Not required, but maybe permissible.
Maybe on the radio. It's possible, you know. You know, it's very possible. Okay, so we got the 160 weight class where the grown men start to wrestle. We have Aaron Morton from Westerville South at 160. His coach is George Crooks. He's an 11th grader. He's 16-0. He's a district qualifier. Freestyle state champ, Greco state champ, Fargo All-American, All-North tournament champ, Upper Arlington tournament champ, and the Marengo Highland Tournament champ of 2018. And who is he wrestling, Coach Stone?
His opponent, Naeem Russell of Lima Senior, coached by Coach P.J. Fought. He is a senior, currently 9-0, a Marion Harding Classic champion in 2017, a TRAC League champ in 2018, fifth place in Division One at 152 at the state tournament.
Okay.
Owner of a 3.6 GPA. His coaches rave about the way that he prepares and practices and stays active on the mat. So certainly an exciting matchup for us here as we prepare to get our 160-pound championship match underway.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, Lima Senior has never really been known for their wrestling. Okay, they're more of a football school, certainly a basketball school, but every once in a while, they have a kid on their wrestling team who is just a fantastic, amazing wrestler. Just a great athlete. And I remember watching this kid last year thinking, this kid has got the goods. He can wrestle. And he took fifth of state.
And I'm sure certainly one of his goals is to improve upon that placement from last year's state tournament as he draws a challenging opponent in Aaron Morton. An impressive set of credentials in his name as well.
Well, and Coach, I'm going to tell you right now, I said the winner of the 52 match might be the MVP, but this could be close. You have a 16-0 kid versus a 9-0 kid. The 9-0 kid is a fifth place placer at state last year, and this kid is an 11th grader, hadn't really done much at state, was a district qualifier last year, but is a very impressive wrestler, and I'd be willing to bet that this Aaron Morton is on his way to the state tournament this year.
And also worth mentioning, Aaron Morton does have one Outstanding Wrestler Award to his name so far this season. Potentially maybe looking for another one of those as we get this match underway.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if Morton beats Russell, he deserves it.
And
Morton,
off to a
right
fast
off
start,
the bat.
Going Woo! For a single leg.
He came out like a caged tiger, Coach. He said, I'm here to wrestle, Mr. Russell. Let's get it on.
A lot of moving, faking, positioning as we get our first period underway here.
As every single person in this building, and he gets the takedown.
Takedown for Aaron Morton of Westerville South, giving us a 2-0 match as we go out of bounds.
But you know what I like about Russell? There's no panic in that kid.
He certainly has a great
no
deal of experience. You know, one takedown, certainly not going to cause panic with the experience that he has.
I will say this, though. The first takedown of any match, it's very mental. Oh!
And we have an attempted roll that has taken Naeem Russell to his back. Aaron Morton still in control.
No back points awarded on that one. Kind of shocked. I thought there might have been some back points.
Certainly, for a moment, did look like a very decisive moment in this match. But Naeem Russell recovered and is attempting to get to his base and perhaps look for an escape or reversal. As we reach the one-minute mark, still a 2-0 match.
As Mr. Morton is still in control.
Currently working for a wrist, trying to get out to the side, looking to improve position. Worth mentioning, we've talked a lot about stalling calls. When you are the wrestler in control and you are on top, you have to look to try to improve your position, work for some sort of near fall or turn. And the wrestler that's on bottom has to look to try to escape or earn a reversal as they make their way to their feet. No escape awarded yet, and they move out of bounds, bringing us back to the center with about 23 seconds left in this first period. As our wrestlers get set.
Coach, I got to tell you, I pulled up, just pulled my phone out of my pocket, and I actually have a text message from one of Westerville South's coaches, Barney Cornell. He said, hey, this is Barney Cornell. Good wrestling event, great broadcast. I wrestled in the very first Marion Harding Classic in 1970. Have a happy new year. I know Coach Cornell super well, and he's telling us we're doing a great job, Coach.
If
Barney Cornell tells you you're doing good, you're doing good. But listen, nobody cares about that right now. What they care about is this match. So I'm going to be quiet and let people know what just happened. Coach, what just happened?
And so for Naeem Russell, we had an escape, giving us a 2-1 match as we start the second period. Naeem Russell selects down. We talked about the importance of winning close matches and the strategy that goes into making your selection. Naeem Russell and his coaches here certainly hoping to be able to count on earning that escape. Aaron Morton certainly hoping to deny him that escape. And the initial attempt stopped with a lift and return.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, the one thing about Morton is that kid's got heavy hips, baby. As
and
Russell gets the escape. We got a tie match. Russell goes in. Russell's like, okay, man, it's time. It's time.
And here comes a single leg.
He's got it. It looks like he's got it. He's
and
tripping
he's
the
looking,
back leg.
Looking to try to pull Aaron Morton back onto the mat. No score there. Bring us back to the center. 2-2 match.
I'm kind of shocked that Morton didn't get a little bit of fleeing the mat there.
Yeah, an interesting call there as Aaron Morton dives for a low single. No score there. Naeem Russell able to move his leg out of the way.
Russell looks like he's on the attack, Coach. He's not messing around. He's like, all right, youngster, I'm coming for you.
A lot of fakes and movement as our wrestlers attempt to set up their go-to takedowns and a single leg
as they're
for
coming
Naeem
towards
Russell
us.
Stepping over.
Oh, he's got the two.
He's got the takedown
he's
on the
edge
of the mat.
He's got the takedown. That's why that kid didn't panic because he knew he had that arrow in his quiver. He knew it, Coach.
You got to have a plan.
You got to have a plan.
And it pays off with the takedown, giving us a 4-2 match.
Hey, speaking of a plan, if you ever plan to listen to the Blues, folks, you got to make sure you listen to True Blues 97.5, Marion's home of the Blues, put on by none other than Papa Blues himself, Spencer Phelps.
And we have an escape awarded to Aaron Morton.
And it looks like Russell is so close to getting it. Oh, my gosh, that's got to be two. Oh, he called.
A stalemate awarded on the edge of the mat.
Ooh.
The officials come together to discuss.
They're conferring. They're talking. Listen, here's what's going to happen if this call gets changed. Someone's going to be happy. Someone's going to be mad. And guess what? It doesn't matter because someone's happy and someone's mad. As Russell goes in for the double, which he switches to a single.
Oh. Russell.
Oh! Did you see him?
Brings the arm out.
Limp-armed out of that coach.
To secure a very impressive takedown, giving us a 3-6 match. Russell has certainly been active here in this second period, as his coaches had mentioned that he would be. It's currently a 7-6 match with about 15 seconds left in the second period.
Oh, there we go. The score was a little wrong there. They fixed it.
Well, the correction giving us a 6-4 match in favor of Russell at the moment.
Well, and you know, the only thing I worry about with Russell is this. Here's the only thing I worry about. If Russell wants to get back to the state tournament, he needs to wrestle every single period like he did that second period. Because the reality is he didn't really wrestle as hard in that first period. He really didn't. And what's going to happen is if you don't go hard, somebody's going to catch you. No matter how good you are and how talented you are, someone's going to catch you.
Especially in the sport of wrestling, which is rather unique in the sense that a match could be over, you know, with a wrong turn or
absolutely
a fall. Listen, big move can result in the end of the match.
I have seen.
And another takedown there for Russell.
Russell.
As he continues his flurry of activity.
To giving assert us his dominance, coach.
A 9-5 advantage here with about a minute 30 left in the third period.
And that was a quick stale call. Or not stale, I apologize. Quick stalling call there.
The officials talking to the wrestlers as they reposition in the middle of the mat. Aaron Morton returned to the neutral position, giving him an escape. Coach, would you like to talk about why wrestlers often make that decision?
Well, because Russell had already been called for stalling. And, you know, the reality is he didn't want it to happen again. So you know what? Russell, at this point, has asserted his dominance with the takedown, with takedowns, of which he just got another one. So in his mind, he's like, listen, I'm not going to ride this guy out. I'm just going to give him an escape, not assert a bunch of energy, and I'm going to keep taking him down, which is what he just did.
Currently an 11-7 match with about a minute remaining in the third period. As our wrestlers are attempting to gain control with perhaps a front headlock, Aaron Morton looking to spin and earn a takedown himself, and a stalemate called on the edge of the mat, bringing us back to neutral.
And you know, Coach, it's crazy. This 11-7 match, still a very close match, still anyone's match, but Russell has controlled this match almost the whole time except for the first period. But there's only a four-point differential.
We talked about Aaron Morton's credentials, and certainly I'm sure he's hoping to make a trip to the state tournament.
Well, says he's a Greco state champ of 2018.
So Greco state champ.
Kid can throw. So if I'm Russell, I'm not tying up with the kid. I'm staying away. Not to the point where I'm going to get busted for stalling, but I'm going to look busy while I'm,
and
speak of the devil and he shall appear. I talk about stalling, and guess what? Russell got called for stalling. Now it's a three-point match, folks, 11-8. If I'm Russell, man, I'm getting in on the leg and I'm hanging on for dear life.
As Russell attempts a shot, Morton attempting to spin and perhaps earn a takedown. We are out of bounds with under 10 seconds left in 11-8 match still.
Me thinks we're going to see somebody try to throw here.
And a low single attempt, but not able. Aaron Morton not able to bring the leg in to score. Had we had a few more seconds on the clock there, Aaron Morton might have earned himself another takedown. Certainly, as the crowd applauds both wrestlers here, certainly a very impressive match by these two young men.
That was a great match right there. I'm going to tell you, there is nothing better than watching good wrestling, and that was a good wrestling. So I want to thank both of those youngsters for giving these folks here a show. All right, folks, we are on to the 170-pound weight class. We have Max Van Fossen from Mount Vernon. The Yellow Jackets, who, by the way, their colors are orange. I don't understand why they're the Yellow Jackets when their colors are orange, but what are you going to do?
And Coach Snyder, his opponent would be Gavin Baisden of Pleasant High School here in Marion County.
Ah.
Gavin Bazin, coached by Coach Robinson, Joe Robinson, we mentioned earlier. Also, Coach Dave Little. He is a junior, currently 19-2. He went 5-0 at the Taze Valley Duels. He placed fifth at the Olentangy Liberty Classic and is a USA Greco state placer.
Well, and it should be noted that Mr. Max Van Faison is coached by Nate Cornell. He was a two-time district qualifier and a one-time state qualifier. So I got to imagine it had to have been last year or somewhere along the lines. But once again, at 170, we get youngsters that they are big bodies, Coach. 170.
And as our wrestlers work for positioning here, worth mentioning, we talked about early on with some of our lighter weights, kind of the flurry of activity, the shots. Interesting to note, sometimes you see a little bit of a different approach as you make your way into these increasingly higher weight classes.
Oh, absolutely, Coach. You know, when you get from about 130-ish and you start moving up into 170, you get a lot of shots, you get a lot of different things like that. But then once you get past 170, lots of times the way the wrestlers wrestle changes because the bodies are bigger. They're not as quick, they're not as fast, and a lot of it is just a lot of brute strength, which is why when you get that rare 180-pounder, 189-pounder, 191-pounder, whatever the weight classes are now, 182-pounders, when you get those rare wrestlers at those heavier weights that can wrestle like they are lightweights, they're fantastic. In fact, I remember when I was in high school, there was a great wrestler for St. Francis de Sales by the name of Tommy Rollins who would go on to be a national champ in college. And Tommy was a heavyweight who wrestled like he was a 135er. I'm telling you, Coach, he just destroyed people. It was a thing of beauty. Speaking of that, the first takedown of the match at 170 goes to Mr. Max Van Faison. It is now 2-0.
As our first period draws to a close.
And once again, folks, we have to tell you that you are listening to the 48th annual Marion Harding Wrestling Classic Finals on True Blues 97.5, Marion's home of the blues. Speaking of the blues, it is a great art form. It is probably the truest, greatest American art form that we gave to the world. The blues made it over to England, and they fell in love with it over in England, and they gave us the Who, they gave us the Stones, they gave us the Beatles, they gave us all that stuff, and it all goes back to a man by the name of Robert Johnson.
Certainly
at the crossroads, Coach.
Certainly an impressive legacy and tradition.
Absolutely.
And we have Gavin Bazin selected the bottom position here and is attempting to earn an escape or reversal. But we mentioned wrestlers who throw legs, as Max from Mount Vernon does throw a leg.
Yeah, and it looks like he's pretty decent at throwing legs here, Coach.
Certainly looks like he has some experience. He has the legs in. He's attempting to run a power half, and well, we get a stoppage.
Well, and you know, the worst thing about somebody who throws legs, I guess the best way I could describe it is like this. It's like somebody throwing like 10 weighted blankets on you. Like the person just blankets you. They got their legs thrown in, they're on you, and it is just, it's hard because they're almost controlling every single part of your body while you're in the down position. They've got the legs in, their weight's on your back, they're putting pressure on your head. It's just, it's not fun. It's not.
Certainly a challenging move to counter, one that often requires experience. As we have Gavin Bazin attempting to escape or reverse his opponent from Mount Vernon. And we have, again with the legs in, attempting a tilt here. Still a 2-0 match with about 35 seconds left in the second period.
Well, and you know, once again, this is one of those things, if you look at the score, you think, oh, this is a close match. And it still kind of is, but the reality is Max has controlled this whole match. It may only be a 2-0 match, but Max has controlled it completely.
And as Gavin Bazin attempts a Granby there, Max catches a wing and is looking to try to turn his opponent.
Looks like he's got him. We're counting back points here.
With about less than 10 seconds remaining in this second period, two near fall points awarded to Max, giving us a 4-0 match as we make our way into the third period. Coach Snyder, I think it's worth mentioning, he talked about this being a 4-0 match. you know, as a wrestler facing someone who's good at throwing legs, you know, it can often make you feel like the time that's left, it can make you feel that crunch of time, can it?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, look at this. Bazedon goes to throw in some legs himself, but they get caught by Max. Max catches it. Max catches it. I think at this point in time, we just got to say that Max is wrestling red hot.
Now, Gavin Bazedon.
Oh, we get a penalty point as Bazedon throws a crossface of epic proportions that he didn't wind it up, but he must have ground it in a way that the ref didn't like, because Van Fessen got himself a penalty point there,
which gives us a 5-0 match with about a minute 30 left in the third period. Gavin Bazedon again looking to throw legs himself. Having had a chance to watch Gavin wrestle, I'm not surprised to see him attempt to do that. I know that's something he likes to do.
Well, and you know, Bazedon is, he's a 170 wrestler, but he's a tall, lanky kid. But he's not tall and lanky in the sense that he's gangly. I mean, the kids, you know, he's a pretty muscular kid, but he's got long arms and long legs.
And that can certainly be an advantage when you look to do certain moves in the sport, throwing legs definitely being one of them. And we have a little bit of a scramble for position here with about a minute left in the third period.
With nothing being called here because they're in such a place that one move by the other person could result in somebody being on their back.
So, but no wrestler being deemed to have control at this point, so there's been no takedown awarded. And
they stop it they call it a stalemate. I thought maybe they'd stop it and call it potentially dangerous because Van Fessen's leg was a little caterwampus there, if you will. Is that a word, Coach?
Well, if it wasn't before, it is now.
Can I? Maybe I'll be the next Marionite to create words. I mean, Warren Harding created the word normalcy, which is part of our nomenclature now. So,
and Van Fessen catches an impressive single leg here and looking to score.
He does. Oh, and he does. He gets two, making it an 8-Butkus match.
With about less than 15 seconds left on the clock, Van Fessen looking for a turn. Bazedon looking to avoid that as the officials get in position to count near fall. Under 5 seconds. And as time runs out.
Bazedon was saved by the bell in the sense that if there was more time left in that match, he probably would have gotten pinned there. As the score is 11-0 with Van Fessen from the Mount Vernon Yellow Jackets, who, by the way, our orange wins the classic at 170. Okay, Coach, we are in what they like to call the home stretch. We're getting down to the last couple weight classes here. At 182, we got Jacob Shalvey from Westerville South. His coach is George Crooks. He's a 12th grader. He's 12-5. He was a USA Wrestling Freestyle State qualifier and has a 4.5 GPA.
His opponent, Cody Wilson from Licking Heights, coached by Coach Price. He is a junior, currently with a 14-1 record. He is a district qualifier who has been wrestling since the fourth grade. He is also a member of the football team where he is a running back. And our championship match at 182 is underway.
All right, we've got both of them kind of pushing for control here. Nothing happening, a lot of head tapping, a lot of head moving. And, you know, one of the things you got to understand about wrestling is if you move the head, you move the body. I mean, it's that simple. You push someone's head one way or the other. You snap their head, you push their head, you're going to move the body with it. And the idea of moving the head is to move the body, which allows you to open up a shot.
Certainly, moving an opponent's head, getting them off balance, creates opportunities. You know, those opportunities being so key that we talked about earlier. As we have Cody Wilson attempting a few shots here, shot and reshot, you call that when you drill that in the room.
Coach, I'm going to tell you, there's been a couple times these wrestlers have gotten uncomfortably close to us. And I have seen wrestlers fly into tables before. I'm only hoping that the refs will protect us and the Blues' equipment here, for Pete's sakes. We got to make sure the equipment is safe because we need the Marionites to have their Blues, baby.
I certainly agree with you, Coach Snyder. As you know, as wrestlers come to the edge of the
mat,
a throw here from Cody Wilson.
But
they're
nothing,
scrambling for position.
But nothing.
No
wow.
Takedown awarded. Certainly, for Jacob from Westerville South, happy to avoid having a takedown scored there, as we had a quite an impressive throw.
Oh, he gets in on a double leg.
And there we have our first takedown awarded with about 30 seconds left in the first period. That takedown taking us out of bounds, bringing us back to the center of the mat. Coach Snyder, I will mention, should the wrestler's momentum carry them out of bounds, my plan is, if it's okay with you, to position myself behind you to shield myself. That's been the contingency plan all
you
evening.
Know, listen, Coach, I coached you when you were in high school, so I guess it's still my job to protect you in some way, shape, or form. So even though you outweigh me by,
we'll say a fair amount.
A fair amount, and you are a fair amount taller than me. And you're certainly about 10 years younger than myself and Spencer.
And Cody Wilson looking to run a turn here as we near the end of the first period.
He had him in a basket there.
Three near fall points awarded, giving us a 5-0 match as we end the first period. Officials tossing the coin right now to determine who gets choice.
And Cody Wilson, who gets the choice because he is green, takes it down. And once again, folks, I got to tell you, you are listening to the 48th annual Marion Harding Wrestling Classic Finals on True Blues 97.5, home of the Blues, sponsored by the Ratliff Law Office, located at 200 West Center Street here in Marion, Ohio. Their phone number is 740-383-6023.
In our opening moments of the second period here, Cody Wilson looked for a moment like he may be on his way to earning an escape, but Jacob able to remain in control here.
Well, in the words of the Beatles, you can't do that. He said, ain't happening.
As our wrestlers carry themselves out of bounds, thankfully not towards us.
Thankfully not towards us.
They return
thankfully,
to the middle.
Not towards us.
Both wrestlers here looking to their corners to determine what they need to do in order to improve their position.
And I'm going to tell you folks at home listening, if you've never been to a wrestling tournament, go. Yes, go to watch the wrestling, but go to watch the wrestling coaches. I'm going to tell you, there isn't a bigger group of more animated people. I remember, Coach, there were times I would leave wrestling tournaments as a coach. My voice would be gone. I would have sweat through T-shirts. There were times that my other assistant coaches had to grab my belt loops
and
my
pull
pants
you back.
And pull me back. I remember a couple times, Coach, coaching you, and I'm losing my mind on the mat. I remember one time, and never because I was malicious or angry or mean, I remember a couple times having a couple team points taken away because I got so worked up and so excited that I would run onto the middle of the mat and kind of argue a call, and then after it was said and done, I would be like, oh, my God, I've got to relax. And, and it was never anything malicious, but I was always fighting and advocating for the kids. And I remember
certainly
a couple times I found a ref later on, and I found him. I was like, hey, listen, I'm really sorry about that. And he goes, oh, it's cool. He goes, if I'd have known you were such a nice guy, I wouldn't have taken away the team point. I'm like, well, can you do it now? He's like, sorry, man, I can't. I'm like, well, there you go.
Wrestling, certainly, we've talked. There's a lot of attention given to how demanding this sport is. And for coaches and for wrestlers, you certainly know the effort invested by your wrestlers and really want to ensure that, that things are being done in a way that, benefits them. As our second period draws to a close here, a 7-0 match currently in favor of Cody Wilson from Licking Heights. As we make our selections for the third period, Jacob Shalvey from Westerville South is indicating he wants to go neutral. Perhaps Coach Snyder looking for one of those big feet-to-back moves here.
Could be, man. Hey, if you're down 7-0, you got to do it. You don't have a choice. You're down 7-0. You got to try something.
At that point, the risk to potential payoff becomes much more worth it.
Boy, you sound like a financial advisor. Risk to potential.
As our attempted takedown here by Jacob Shalvey from Westerville South takes us out of bounds. Wrestlers reset. Currently trying to create those opportunities. Snapping the head, moving.
As Shalvey is in control at this point in time. Oh, no, I checked that. I'm sorry. Cody Wilson is in control at this point in time.
Cody Wilson scores himself another takedown, giving us a 9-0 advantage with about a minute 20 left. But again, worth noting for those at home, a fall does result in a win for the wrestler that earns the pin. So certainly, Cody Wilson very much aware of that as he looks to improve his position here in the third period.
As a stalemate is called, both wrestlers will trudge their way back to the circle within the circle.
Coach Snyder, I do have to mention a quick story for Cody Wilson. So we have information sheets that the wrestlers and coaches filled out to give us information and background to talk a little bit about them on this broadcast. Cody Wilson indicated to us on his sheet a water polo championship, which he had a little bit of a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye as he indicated that. A Google search, not able to confirm that.
You know what bothers me about water polo? It's cruel to the horses. Don't the horses drown?
Certainly a number of questions.
Oh, you mean they don't use horses in water polo? Oh, okay. Well, somebody lied to me, I guess. I thought they used horses in water.
Cody Wilson looking to work and stay active, working a turn here as we are under 30 seconds in the third period. Currently a 9-0 advantage. Cody Wilson looking perhaps to earn a fall.
Well, and he is certainly in control. If he gets about three more back points here, he can certainly get a technical fall.
Now, we are under 10 seconds remaining.
I also want to make it a point to, since this is a broadcast here in Marion, Ohio, and we are here at Marion Harding High School, I want to take a minute to give a shout-out to Mason Sparks, who was a two-time state qualifier for the Marion Harding High School president, took third place at the 152 weight class, and as we talked about, the 152 weight class was a tough one. The guy who took first, the guy who took second, and the guy who took third are all state qualifiers. Speaking of a state qualifier, here at 195, we have Darren Polium from Dublin, Scioto, coached by, once again, native of Marion Harding High School, Mr. Adam Huddle. This kid's a junior. He's 12-0, and he took seventh at the state last year in D1.
His opponent, Owen Loafman from Sheridan High School, coached by Nick Deering. He's a senior, currently 16-0, a two-time state qualifier, three-time district qualifier, one-time district champ. He has also been a league champ in his conference.
Well, and you know what none of these kids have put on their wrestling accomplishments? None of them put their, like, long walks on the beach. Just once?
Certainly.
Just once.
They have not yet indicated that on their informational
sheets. I'm
going to tell
you, if I had to fill out one of these when I was a high schooler, I'd have put all kinds of outlandish, crazy things.
Like perhaps a water polo championship?
A water polo championship. It's very possible that I would have put that.
As our wrestlers make their way to the mat here, a few final instructions from their coaches in each corner. Wrestlers preparing their equipment, shaking hands with the officials. As we prepare to get this 195-pound championship underway.
Well, and I got to tell you, Coach, when you're standing on that mat before the whistle blows, your adrenaline is going a million miles an hour. You just don't know. You know, it's such a weird feeling, man. You can't really describe it. You just have to be there.
The weight is certainly a much discussed part of the sport, the mental part, the preparation.
Well, and then knowing that all those – listen, and that's the thing, too. When you're standing in that circle within the circle and you're knowing all these eyes are on you and you know that everything that you do is being watched and scrutinized, every mistake you make, every good thing you do, everybody sees it. It's not like football. If it's football and you miss a block, most people aren't going to see it. Now, your coach may see it on Saturday morning when he's breaking down film and he may rip your face off for missing the block. But if you miss a block, nobody knows it. But if you do something out here and you do it bad and it looks bad, you can't hide. You just can't. You just can't.
And certainly an important part of the sport, reflecting upon those decisions and those moments and learning from them. As our wrestlers attempt to gain the upper hand here.
They're playing the edge, both of them, Coach.
On the edge of the mat, they're out of bounds. Look perhaps like we might see our first score.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, This youngster from this Loafman from Sheridan, that is a sharp singlet, Coach. For those of you guys at home, it's got the Superman emblem on the back, or on the front and on the back. It says Men of Steel, and it looks like steel. It looks really cool.
The finals, often a time that you see teams' most impressive singlets.
Oh, baby. Well, and it's kind of funny because you That's exactly it. You do. You see the, oh, as the wrestlers were getting uncomfortably close to us, but I got to give shout out to the ref in front of us for saving us.
And keeping us safe.
Or at least you.
As perhaps our wrestlers were attempting to join the broadcast.
Well, you know, they can if they want to, but I'd prefer they stay there and I stay here. But
currently.
But you're right, though. In the finals, though, Coach, that's where you see. It's almost like you put on your Sunday best. If you got a singlet that's flashy, you put it on, man. That's just what you do.
Bring it out for the finals, absolutely.
You bring it out for the fans, right?
As we are under 15 seconds here in the first period, still a scoreless match as we have an attempted double leg, but not able to score that move in time as the time runs out.
No soup for Mr. Pulliam. I hope I'm saying his last name right.
That will give us a scoreless first period as wrestlers look to their corners to make their decisions for the second period. As our wrestlers get set, the officials indicate that Loafman from Sheridan can get set. He is in the top position. Dublin Sciota, Duran from Dublin Sciota in the bottom position, able to earn our first point of the match in
quick
the form
escape.
Of an escape.
Well, and you know, that's one of the things when you're wrestling you got to do. That's one of the things that used to drive me nuts as a coach. A kid would be down and the whistle would blow and the kid would hem and haul and not be able to get an escape. Oh!
And we have a feet-to-back move, much like we've talked about. And we have Duran from Dublin Sciota with a head and an arm attempting to earn himself a fall here.
See if he can get it. See if he can get it. See if he can get it.
As Loafman attempts to
Loafman
bridge.
Loafman is fighting for his life.
Certainly scrambling. He knows very well the danger of this situation. Currently bridging, and he's able to return to his base as we get carried out of bounds.
Well, as Coach Huddle from Sciota is upset because he thought Pulliam had a pin. But I'm going to tell you what, Loafman kept fighting because Loafman's not used to losing. Loafman is 16-0. So he Coach Huddle's making me laugh. He's yelling, he was gliding across the mat.
This currently gives us a 6-1 match as Loafman from Sheridan earns an escape. As we mentioned earlier, Coach Huddle, certainly what we would call a very energetic coach.
Oh, he is,
in the corner.
He is animated. I'm telling you, he is like more animated than Disney, than Looney Tunes, you name it, just animated.
And as we pass the one-minute mark in the second period, still a 6-1 match, both wrestlers in neutral looking to score a takedown here, improve their position. A little bit of hand fighting taking place.
They're both, and I'm telling you, they're both kind of grinding their foreheads against each other in a way that's going to hurt later. I can tell you that, Coach.
Duran from Dublin Sciota had an underhook there. Looked like he was attempting to go to a takedown. Not able to make it happen there on the edge of the mat, bringing us back to the center.
Well, I'm going to tell you, these are two big, strong kids right here. Once again, and you know what's impressive about these 95-pounders, Coach, is they're kind of wrestling like middleweights.
Certainly, they've been very active throughout this match so far. Lots of movement. Fakes as we get carried out of bounds on an attempted takedown there.
Duran is called for stalling there as he was playing the edge of the mat and being more defensive. Oh!
As he catches him with 1.7 seconds left, scoring a takedown, certainly looked like a dangerous position, but no near fall awarded because of time expiring.
It was certainly a takedown, but no near fall. Loafman was saved by the bell as Coach Nick Deering from Sheridan High School is unhappy with that call. But I got to tell you, I agree with the referee's call on that because he took him to his back.
And
that was certainly a takedown.
And certainly, had there been more time left in the second period, another potentially challenging situation for Loafman from Sheridan there as Duran from Dublin Sciota took him, like you said, right to his back, Coach Snyder.
Well, and I got to believe here that we're going to see possibly Loafman try to get some throws.
Loafman did earn himself an escape to begin this third period, giving us an 8-2 match. Our wrestlers battling for position in the middle of the mat. A little bit of hand fighting taking place, as you mentioned, forehead to forehead there. So wrestlers look to improve their position.
As the wrestlers are double flying unders towards us. I put out my hand like that's going to help anything. Listen, I don't think Spencer's moved that quick since he was like a teenager. Holy smokes, folks. He was like grease lightning over here. Spencer was moving fast. As the ref points to us, it kind of gives us a kind of point to us. Kind of like, oh!
And we have a double leg and a score for Duran from Dublin Sciota.
Coach, that was less a double leg and more a tackle. Holy
very
smokes.
Much, very much a tackle. They're giving us a 10-3 match as Loafman now escapes, bringing us back to the neutral position with about a minute left here in the third period. Loafman attempting a shot there.
Duran
not able to score.
Tries to sink an underhook there.
As Loafman goes to what looked like he was working towards a front headlock.
Well, I think Loafman kind of wants to, he kind of wants to hit some kind of a throw. But Duran, I think, is so strong that he just can't pummel in and jack him up for the throw.
And it's worth mentioning, as we hit the 30-second mark here in the third period, throws often especially challenging in the third period for kind of an unusual reason. Coach Snyder?
You are sweaty.
Very sweaty.
And you can imagine what sweaty bodies are like.
Makes it very difficult to grip and score such a move.
When you start the match, you know, you start with high hopes, you're all nice and dry, and by the time the match is over, you are a gross, sweaty mess. No doubt about it, man.
Oftentimes, listen, happening by the end of the first period, even.
There's no way to sugarcoat it. You are a gross, sweaty mess. As Duran gets called for stalling, yet again, it's 10-4, but I'm going to tell you the hay's in the barn.
1.8 seconds left on the clock. Probably not enough time for a takedown and a fall, though Loafman does attempt a low single on the whistle. Time expires, ending with a 10-4 match, and Duran from Dublin Sciota becoming our 195-pound champion here at the Marion Harding Classic.
And Coach Huddle over there is certainly happy. And once again, folks, you are listening to the 48th Annual Marion Harding Wrestling Classic Finals on True Blue 97.5. Marion's home of the blues, the true blues, where you can hear great blues hits from people like Blind Lemon Jefferson. Ladies and gentlemen, and it is also sponsored by the Ratliff Law Office, located at 200 West Center Street here in Marion, Ohio. Their phone number is 740-383-6023. Coach, we are on to the 220 weight class. We're almost done with this thing. We got one more match after this. We got Nate Hayespool from Ontario. Kevin Kroll is his coach. He's a sophomore. He's 4-1. And he is a starting right guard for the football team. He's 4-1. Hasn't wrestled a lot this year.
His opponent, Wyatt Peters from Licking Heights, coached by Coach Price, Coach Waters, Coach Coltus. He is a senior with a 9-0 record. 2018 league champion, he indicates. Also indicating
perhaps
a part of that water polo championship effort. As our first period is underway.
Maybe I'm missing something, and there's some kind of underground water polo going on here in the Central Ohio area. Ah, there we go.
Currently a 2-0 match with about a minute 30 left in the first period. As our wrestlers return to neutral, giving us a 2-1 match. Currently in favor of Wyatt Peters from Licking Heights. Our wrestlers battling for position there at the center. Again, Coach, like we talked about, as Wyatt Peters secures an underhook, looking for a throw.
It sure looks like he's trying to jack him up, Coach. And once again, those throws, as we mentioned, are a lot easier in the first period. A lot easier.
And as we made mention earlier of some of the different styles of wrestling, as we get towards the upper weights here, our current 220-pound weight class, you know, a little bit of a different style depending on the wrestler.
Well, and what you're not going to see, and Coach, you know this full well. You know this because you yourself were a heavyweight wrestler. I know this from my years of coaching, but I'm going to tell you this right now. You don't see a lot of shots, although we did see one there. You don't see a lot of shots as Hayespool tries to get a shot in on Peters, and Peters was having none of it.
And oftentimes, for our wrestlers in the upper weight divisions, the way that they take shots might often be different than you see at the lighter weights. You know, so you do still see attempts to secure legs and score takedowns, but oftentimes done in a different way. We have an escape by Hayspool from Ontario, giving us a 4-2 match as our time runs low here in the first period.
Well, and I think it's worth noting, one of the reasons that you don't see a lot of shots is because that's a lot of body to get on top of you. You get under there to try to take a shot, and you've got 220 pounds of dead weight laying on top of you. That's hard to get out from under. It really is. It's a lot different for a 3 pound or for a 6 pounder, for a 45 pounder. It's a lot different. But when you have 220 pounds of dead weight laying on top of you, that's hard to get out from. And if you don't secure that shot, it could go south really quick, and you could find yourself on the losing side of what was going to be a positive move by you.
And Coach Snyder, just speaking from experience, I have to agree with you there as a wrestler from these upper weight divisions. As our second period gets underway here, still a 4-2 match currently in favor of Wyatt Peters. We have Hayspool in the bottom position, Peters in the top position. Although they are currently face-to-face right now, Hayspool potentially looking for an escape, but Wyatt Peters perhaps looking for a Barn Chancellor there.
Sure looks like it, doesn't it?
Now moving to a front headlock. Hayspool with the escape, giving us a 4-2-3 match.
Well, and I'm telling you, this is a close match, but Peters has controlled it. It's 4-3, but Peters has controlled this match.
Our wrestler is currently in the neutral position. Peters with an underhook, looking to improve his position, perhaps looking for a throw or maybe something else there. Now switching up our positioning. Peters no longer with the underhook, instead circling for position. Hayspool with a body lock.
Hayspool. Uh-oh.
In behind, currently still in neutral, looking to secure a takedown. Peters looking to spin away, and they carry out of bounds with no score.
Well, and Peters is about, for those of you guys at home, Peters is about 5'5". He is not a very tall kid. There's 220 pounds of weight in that short body of his, which makes him so low to the ground and so hard to take down. So Hayspool was in perfect position there, and you would think that Hayspool could take him to the mat and get the 2 points, but it didn't happen.
Hayspool with a shot here. Peters sprawling, attempting to spin, currently has a front headlock secured as we are under 30 seconds here in the second period. Hayspool looking to remain on his feet, not wanting to give up the takedown in this close match. Our wrestler circling for position, currently no change. Peters certainly looking to change that. Releases the front headlock. Wrestlers remain in neutral. We make our way back to the center of the mat as time is winding down. It looks like our 4-3 score will carry over into the third period.
All right, folks, so here we go. We're going into the third period of the next-to-last finals match with Nate Hayspool trailing Wyatt Peters 4-3. Wyatt Peters of Licking Heights and Nate Hayspool of Ontario, right down the road here from Marion, Ohio on Route 309. Once again, you are listening to the 48th annual Marion Harding Wrestling Classic on True Blues 97.5.
Peters beginning in the down position. Earns a reversal. Hayspool right to his back. 2 points for the reversal. Hayspool able to recover and return to his base.
Well, and Peters gets himself a little bit more of a come relief as he is grinding
working
on the back of his head for that power half.
The power half, very similar to the half Nelson we talked about before, but for the wrestler on bottom, it also means you have your opponent's forearm on the back of your head and a lot of weight there. So certainly an uncomfortable position to be in.
I'm telling you, Coach, it hurts, and it hurts bad. It's one of those things when you're trying to hit the power half, it's really one of those things where you're imposing your will on that human being. You're doing so in a nasty, nasty way. And you're not doing it to be mean. You're not doing it to be malicious. You're just doing it because it needs to be done.
Needs to be done.
Because you need that half Nelson, baby.
And it's worth mentioning, for when wrestlers begin learning this sport, it is typically one of those first moves that you learn. So it's one of those situations, not a great deal of surprise. You're just looking to see, you know, who's able to either carry out the move or prevent it.
Well, and you know, you're talking about learning things. It should be noted that there's all kinds of fancy moves in wrestling.
Oh! Hayspool with an attempted throw.
Almost.
In this 6-4 match. 30 seconds left. Peters catching an underhook as we move near the edge of the mat with under 30 seconds remaining. Hayespool looks for perhaps a head and arm. Peters.
And he slipped off because in the third period, you're what, Coach?
As we said, often very sweaty. Makes it very difficult.
Very, very sweaty. But you know, Coach, talking about, and it looks like Peters is certainly going to win this match 8-4. Peters from Licking Heights, our 220 champ. Should be noted, though, that in wrestling, there's all kinds of different moves. There's all kinds of different things you can do. But some of the very best wrestlers, Coach, they do your basics. When you watch the St. Ed's of the world wrestle, they're not hitting all these fancy schmancy moves. They're hitting doubles. They're hitting singles. They're hitting halves. They're hitting cradles. You know, there's a lot of different things you can do in wrestling. There's a lot of different moves you can have. But the reality is that you're going to do what you got to do. So listen, I've been waiting this whole time to give somebody to give me a great bio. And here we have Omari Green.
And here we have it here as we begin our final championship match, the 285-pound weight class.
There's more. Omari Green's from Central Crossing. He's 11th graders, 13-2. He likes fishing and hunting. He's also an excellent Fortnite player. He recorded over 10,000 kills. His favorite food is hamburger helper. I think he likes the helper part of it more than the hamburger part. And his future plans involve opening up a hair salon. And good for Omar, because he's a good wrestler, too, because he's in the finals.
His opponent, Cole Potts from St. Francis DeSales, coached by Nick Preston, is a junior, currently 12-1. He was all-conference, a state alternate last year, with a 44-11 record last year.
Oh, there you go. That's a pretty good record right there.
So, Coach Snyder, as we begin the 285-pound weight class, again, when you talk about styles of wrestling, heavyweight, very much its own unique blend, is it not?
Well, it really is. Your heavyweights are what Keith Jackson, the famed college football announcer, will always refer to. These guys are your hog mollies. These guys
are
your offensive linemen, basically. These are the type of kids that you know, they're great athletes, and, you know, they're great athletes, but they wrestle in a very different way. So you're going to see a lot of arm drags. You're going to see a lot of headlocks. You're going to try to see a lot of slide bys, a lot of duck unders, a lot of body locks. Maybe not a lot of throws, but you're going to see a lot of those things. I mean, Coach, I remember coaching you when you were a heavyweight wrestler, and you did a lot of slide bys, a lot of arm bars, a lot of arm drags. But I never, ever remember, very, very rarely, did you ever beat somebody by a lot of points? It was always a 4-3, a 4-2 match, or you pin the person.
Absolutely.
It was that simple. High-scoring matches. It's just not the nature of heavyweight wrestling for it to be high-scoring matches.
Oftentimes you see a match end with a fall or, like you said, often a low score. We do have a score on the board for Cole Potts of St. Francis DeSales, as he's able to score a takedown working off of an underhook as time expires in our first period. That 2-0 score will carry over into the second period.
Should be noted that going for third place right now, fifth place right now on the mat to the left of us, is Mitchell Gruber of Marion Harding High School.
And as we begin the second period here, Cole Potts is in the bottom position. Omari Green from Central Crossing
Omari.
In the top position. As our wrestlers make their way to their feet, you can hear the crowd noise picking up as one of our third place match. Looks like we have a wrestler maybe in a pinning position.
Must be getting exciting over there, Coach.
And a escape scored, and that does result in the fall in our third place match. Certainly the crowd very excited to see that. We have a 3-0 match here on our center mat in the second period. And looks like maybe another takedown on the way for Cole Potts.
Nope.
But they are able to scramble and escape. They return to neutral still 3-0, Coach.
Well, and Omari of the Hamburger Helper Liker is still battling in this match. He's not giving up. Oh!
And a front headlock for Cole Potts, but he's able to snap and spin and score another takedown, bringing us to a 5-0 match with about a minute left here in the second period.
Oh, and he looks like he's almost going to chin him back to his back. Oh, he scoops the head. He scoops the head as he settles back. No back points awarded yet. No counting yet.
Amari Green trying to return to his base. Cole Potts trying to chin him over to his back.
And chinning him over, it's exactly what it sounds like, folks. You scoop the head, you drop the chin, and you just kind of try to pull him back. You control the head as you drop the chin. 5-0 match here. I may eat my words in saying that normally you don't see high-scoring heavyweight matches. It is certainly a rarity, but not something unheard of.
And another attempt by Cole Potts to chin back his opponent. Near fall being counted under 15 seconds as the bopper makes their way onto the mat.
Oh!
And, Coach, what did we say?
I said they either end in pins or the score is close. And here we are with the pin. Folks, Cole Potts is your 285 heavyweight champ. Folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break here and come back with our wrap-up of today's action here at the 48th Annual Marion Harding High School Wrestling Classic. You are listening to True Blues 97.5, Marion's home of the Blues.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Spencer Phelps here with you. Boy, Todd Schneider, let's hang out for a couple minutes because I apologize. I shut the laptop down.
That's okay. Well, hey, listen. That's why we're live, you know? You got to roll with the punches,
see,
Spence.
I'm the least professional out of the three of us here. You guys are killing it. Thank you so much for being the commentators for this wrestling event. I mean, it's so good. I mean, if you're listening at home, you learn so much about it if you've never even seen it before. So thank you so much for doing this for us.
Well, listen, I appreciate you giving us the chance. You know, wrestling is a sport that I love. I had a football coach, Sam Nicolosi, legendary guy in Marion, Ohio. He's been coaching middle school sports on some level for 30 some years. He was my coach when I was 12, and I'm going to be 38. He talked me into wrestling in the eighth grade over at Edison Middle School. I wrestled all the way through high school. Wrestling was a sport that I loved. But it was kind of a means to an end for me. It was something I did to make me a better football player, and make me a better football player it did, because I was able to, go play college football. And when I came back to Marion Harding High School as a teacher and a coach, the first thing I wanted to do was, not only did I want to coach football, but I wanted to coach wrestling. Yeah. And I was lucky enough, my first year walking into Harding High School as a young 24-year-old kid, to have a 14-year-old youngster by the name of Bob Stone wrestle for me and play football for me. And I watched this kid grow up and become a fantastic football player and a fantastic wrestler. His senior year, he was a district qualifier, and guess what? He went on to play college football. Why?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he wrestled. He played for
That's
Otterbein.
Right.
I played for Urbana.
Yeah.
I'm sure if Otterbein and Urbana played, Urbana would probably win.
But. Well, let's not jump to conclusions here.
That's a whole other show, I think.
Right. We've learned the importance of seeing the matches and contests actually play out.
Absolutely.
But, Coach Schneider, I'd like to just take a moment and first, you know, thank you for being here with me today as we did this first broadcast, and also for what you mentioned throughout my time as a wrestler here. You know, you mentioned the importance and the value of the sport. I think that's something that, you know, if you talk to any wrestler in this room tonight, any coach, any parent, you know, they'll talk about the value of the sport to these young men and young women, as we had five young women compete in this
we
tournament
did.
That's
today.
Right. It's not just a dude sport.
It is.
Absolutely.
You are 100% right, Spence. It is not a dude sport.
There's a lot more
young ladies doing it.
Yeah,
we have our own Shayna Morris here helping out this evening. She's a college wrestler at Tiffin.
She got a full ride to
really?
Wrestle at Tiffin as a female wrestler.
Wow, that is cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's great.
Great
kid.
And she was a good student, too.
Absolutely. And kind of a cool moment. We talked about Coach Adam Huddle and his experience here as a wrestler and his connections to this community. You know, worth noting, we talked about the value and importance of the sport. A number of coaches here at this tournament this evening. Coach David Williams from Ridgedale.
Boom.
We saw Coach Mike McCreary.
Oh, yeah. Coach Mack was here.
Coach
yeah.
Mack.
Coach
yeah.
Ed Henning.
Coach Ed Henning was here. It should also be noted that Coach Scott Carr of Northmore fame, whose Northmore wrestlers didn't wrestle in this tournament, was here tonight to watch the wrestling
Just came to watch.
Just came to watch.
That's nice.
He graduated. Harding's wrestling coaches are Rocky and Jeff Ratliff, Jeff was a three-time state champ who I graduated with, and I had a front-row seat to his greatness in his high school career. And then Rocky took second, I believe, and I want to say 1994?
I believe so. Yes,
he took second at the state tournament. You know, Coach Brent Gornflo, who puts on this tournament every year,
and so
helped
well done.
And helped facilitate this broadcast.
Yeah,
was himself a former Harding wrestler, and I'm sure if I'm just scanning the crowd, I could probably pick out about three or four more people who are former Harding wrestlers.
So many familiar faces as Coach Doug Short.
Oh, Coach Doug Short
of Pleasant, and
former
now
Harding
Audubon,
wrestler
Audubon
and
University.
Harding wrestling coach who left here in 93 or 94 and went out and built a juggernaut at Pleasant, like a juggernaut.
Yeah.
Man, fantastic stuff.
Well, I tell you what. What are we describe to everybody what we're seeing here? We got the podium up there with the. I believe the winners are going to be standing up on. How's this work?
Well, so here's what's going to happen. You got the podium, and I think that podium was probably made the first year that this tournament was in existence. I remember standing on that podium when I was in high school. I took third place my senior year in this tournament. And what you have happening is they got the podium out there, and everyone's going to get up there. They're going to take pictures. They're going to give kids their awards, and essentially what's going to happen is all of these pictures are going to end up in scrapbooks and on social media.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I will never forget when I was a coach, one of my favorite things to do, and I guess I'm just kind of a strange, silly human being, but whenever pictures were being taken, I would always, my wrestlers thought it was hilarious because I would always, like, stand in the background of, like, all of the podium photos and just photobomb them. So there are generations of kids out there for about a decade who have scrapbooks of wrestling tournaments of them winning an award.
And then all these Todd Schneider pictures in
the
back.
For all of us listening at home with pictures of a podium with a coach from Marion Harding in the background, the secret is out. We have now identified the culprit.
The secret is out.
Now they're going to be collector's items. They're going to like, let me get a Schneider bomb. A Schneider bomb. That's what they're going to call it. That sounds like a drink.
It does a little bit. It does a
give
little
two
bit.
Two Schneider bombs.
Two Schneider bombs.
Hey, Jeff. Can you come over for a second?
We're gonna get the legendary.
I just saw Jeff Ratliff. I want to see if he had it.
Do you have a second to?
Yeah,
hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Doing all right. Coach Jeff Ratliff here, Marion Harding Wrestling.
Yeah.
So what'd you think? How'd it go?
I think we saw at some weight classes, even though a lot of them we saw some really tough wrestling with really close matches, and then I think a lot of individuals got to see some of the best guys where they really put on a show and put up a lot of points, and really it was a lopsided victory in the final. So we had a good mixture of both. One guy that was totally dominant, and then some real close matches and competitive matches. I think just some of the exciting matches, a lot of scoring was in the 160 match with Neem, Russell, and Morton. That was just an exciting match all around. Close match, went back and forth. And then you had some dominating performances. Daniel Segura put on a good show. 145 for St. Ed's. Luke put on a good show. There's just some good wrestling happened today and some dominant wrestling. So,
hey, and for the folks at home who aren't familiar, we got Jeff. How'd you do there? Tell us a little bit about your background in the wrestling.
For those that don't know, I wrestled here at Marion Harding High School. I was a three-time state champ, and I went on to wrestle and became an All-American for Ohio State University.
Nice. Well, hey, thanks for having us all out here, and heck of a show.
Hopefully everybody enjoyed it, and we'll have you back.
Well, and I got to say this, Jeff, as my former teammate, it should be noted that our senior year, I had the most reversals or escapes. So even though
he did, I will give him that.
Listen, so some interesting statistics here, Coach Schneider, most reversals and escapes, and also as we mentioned earlier in the broadcast,
as we mentioned,
an undefeated record against Coach Adam Huddle.
Against Coach Adam Huddle,
I did not know that. I'm gonna have to.
You remember
that one?
He was a freshman when
we
were seniors. He never beat me.
That's true.
So he can talk about 3-0, I went to the state tournament. Doesn't matter. He didn't beat Todd Schneider. Also,
that's true.
I believe Mr. Sean
that.
Kearns, our
no.
AD.
We can roll these mats right back out.
No.
I think we even have one open if you wanted to go back out there.
We got to make this a pay-per-view.
I'm pushing 40 years old. I'm not getting on the mat with Huddle. Besides that, Coach Huddle, I love him, but he's crazy. He might bite my ear off, like like Mike Tyson style. Yeah. And I need my ears.
It is something that you never know what would happen out there.
Yeah.
But thanks for coming out. I think everything sounded really good on the radio. Hopefully the people online could tune in. I know there's people from Cleveland and just all over the state that were tuning in, and hopefully they got a little bit extra and could hear what was going on in some of their matches that they couldn't be here with us today, and hopefully they enjoyed the radio broadcast.
Well, yeah. and folks out there listening, let us know if you like the show, if you enjoyed listening to this, because if this is something that people are digging, we can make this a regular thing. We just wanted to come out and do this as kind of an experiment almost, but I mean, when you got really good announcers like Mr. Schneider here and Coach Stone here, yeah.
Both of them love to talk, so they can make a show out of anything. So
we got a dynamic duo here, man.
I'm here
to tell you right now, we need to call the Westminster Dog Show because, listen, we'll make it hot.
I will go on record. I think to teach in room 115 at Marion Harding High School, which both Coach Snyder and myself have done or currently do.
Coach Stone is in my former classroom as I moved up the ranks to assistant principal.
So, you know, to occupy that room, there is a certain standard and volume to uphold to be able to teach in that classroom.
And to teach social studies nonetheless. And listen, I've always said, if you love to hear yourself talk, there's about three or four things you should be. One of them is a lawyer, which Jeff is.
And his brother Rocky.
Another one is a preacher, or another one's a teacher.
Or
politician. And I'm both.
There you go.
Hey, listen, I got to make sure before we get off here that I say hi to my daughters and my wife, because I know they're home listening. Layla and Ellie, I know you're listening. I love you. Hopefully I made you laugh a couple times. Got to say hi to my wife, too. I just wanted to say that before I got off here. That's all.
Coach Stone, you want to say hey to anybody?
Yeah, just, hello to everyone listening at home. Thank you guys for letting us share the Harding Classic with you. You know, very much a special tournament to all the people that have been coming here for many years.
It's a homecoming.
Absolutely.
Homecoming.
A lot of familiar faces, and certainly if you get a chance to make it here, a very cool experience.
And it's Coach Jeff Ratliff again. For those listeners listening, please call the radio station, email them, do anything. Let them know that you enjoyed the show and you'd like to see more, not just wrestling in the community, but if you like the fact that we had some sports on the radio here in your local community, if you enjoyed it, little break from the Blues, and let them know, and we can
Blues,
have it.
But yeah. You know, we can take a little break now.
There we go.
Listen,
well, I got to get back to rolling up the mats. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by.
We love the Blues.
I'm no
Robert Johnson, no Blind Lemon Jefferson. But I love me talking some sports, and I know Coach Stone loves it too. So, Spence,
absolutely.
Listen, man, thank you for this. This was, in my opinion, groundbreaking in Marion, Ohio.
Yeah.
The first radio broadcast of wrestling in Marion, Ohio history. So we made history.
Certainly, very cool moment.
Call the Historical Society, and let's put these tapes in the Historical Society.
There you go.
Well, I did record it, so I'll get you guys a copy.
Oh, beautiful. Awesome. Thanks, Spence. Appreciate
it, man. Thank you so much for being here with us this evening.
Yeah, you too, man. Well, from all of us here at Marion Harding High School, we're going to let them go ahead and start doing the award ceremonies now.
They're going to hand out the awards, which after that, that's just kind of – it's all – done after that. Just a bunch of pictures being taken, and we're moving on from there. But should be noted that St. Edward's B team will be the champs this year of 2018.
St. Edward's.
Wow. Yes, sir.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
Well, hey, from all of us here at Marion Harding High School, you've been listening to the 48th annual Marion Harding Wrestling Classic Finals on True Blues 97.5, brought to you by Ratliff Law Office. They are located, thank you, at 200 West Center Street here in Marion, and their phone number is 740-383-6023. For Todd Schneider, Coach Stone, thank you so much. I'm Spencer Phelps, and let's get back to the Blues music.
Let's do it.